people came in after I was seated looking toward the front.
Yep.
Wow. Thank you for coming. Always good to get together, we say, so appreciate your attendance very, very much. Now, if you've received a bulletin, there is an outline on the back of the bulletin if you'd like to follow with the lesson this morning. Titled the lesson, Are You Sleeping? I know you're going to say, how can I if you keep talking so loud? But I'm going to borrow a phrase from the text that was read to us. The phrase, while men slept. It's in the parable that Jesus told in Matthew 13, verse 24, Liam read to us. Just the first verse, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, that's us, the men in the story. While we sleep, what's going to happen, Jesus? What are you saying in the story? What happens if I'm just not awake or alert? While men slept, the verse continues, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. Uh-oh. You see, when the man in the story was awake, he sowed good seed in the field. He's doing what he's supposed to do. He's just going to expect a good harvest. When the man's awake, or when you and I are awake, we're taking God's word to heart. When we're awake, we don't allow tares to come into our life to consume us. But you have to be awake. Being spiritually awake, we give the good seed of God's word time to take root. And when we're awake, it'll bring forth good fruit. But you have to be awake. So then he gives the opposite. When we're spiritually asleep, it provides opportunity for the enemy to advance in our life. We're not awake. When spiritually asleep, we give the enemy opportunity to plant seeds of doubt in our life. When we're spiritually asleep, the enemy plants excuses in our life. And so we begin to excuse ourselves from Bible study, saying, I never did like book learning anyway. When we're asleep, the enemy puts excuses in our life concerning worship assembly. You know, it's a long drive to the building. You know, Sunday's the day that I like to sleep in. Oh, you're physically asleep too. Now you're spiritually asleep, but the enemy plants seeds. You're spiritually sleeping. Let's put the excuses for Bible study in there. Oh, I don't like Bible study either. Or prayers. You know, Brian preaches too long. Can't be involved in the ministry. I'm spiritually asleep. Let someone else do it. So that was a phrase that Jesus used. Let me tell you about the kingdom of God. And what's going to happen when the workers sleep? While men slept, Jesus said, the enemy came in. While men slept, the enemy sowed the tares when you weren't awake. You know, if you don't have interest in spiritual things, that's a wake-up call. If you're not interested in spiritual things, you're spiritually sleeping. Uh-oh. Why? This lesson this morning, I'm going to tell you about some Bible people who physically slept. But it gives a spiritual lesson. You know, it's not easy to preach someone who's sleeping. I've tried that. Not only am I going to tell you about some famous sleepers in the Bible, I've known some famous sleepers. When one's spiritually asleep, sometimes difficult to arouse them. You ever try to wake someone up? But sometimes that's difficult. When they're spiritually asleep, it's difficult to warn them of an impending danger. You're sleeping. If you're spiritually asleep, it's difficult to move you to right action for your safety. So here's some examples. Have them in your notes. Number one, the sleep of procrastination or the slothful. Solomon said it this way. In Proverbs chapter 24, verse 30, Solomon said, I went by the field of the slothful. All right, Solomon, what did you see? I went by the field of that slothful sleeping person. By the vineyard of the man who's void of understanding. Oh, he doesn't get it. Lo, is all grown over with thorns. Nettles covered the face thereof. The stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw, and I considered it well. I looked upon it and I received instruction. Solomon, what did you learn when you walked by the one who'd been sleeping and everything's torn down and no activity going on? What did you see, Solomon? Oh, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come. Solomon says, I saw a man who planted a vineyard, a man who built a wall. And then he went to sleep. The work stopped, and his work decayed. Jesus describes the person in one of his parables or stories. In Luke chapter 8, verse 13, he says, when the word of God had fell on the rock, and they are this, Jesus says, they hear, they receive the word of joy, oh, but they have no root. Which for a while they believe, but in the time of temptation they fall away. Oh, they go to sleep. It's the person who started out pretty good. He's describing the person that had good intentions. But he doesn't continue working. He doesn't continue to grow in faith and spirituality. Becomes slothful, sluggish. Takes himself away from the work. Spiritually asleep. Not awake to the exhortation that's being given. And then the weeds grow in his life. Spiritually asleep, says you, I'll fix things someday. Someday. The second illustration, and I give you just a sleep of weariness. It's the story that you're familiar with of Jesus and the disciples, and Jesus goes into the garden to pray right before his crucifixion. Yeah. Jesus says, you disciples, just stay here for a while. Comes back to the disciples three times. Finds them asleep. In the verse 43, it says he found and came again, found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away and prayed the third time, saying the same words. You'll let this cup pass from me. Then he come to his disciples and he says to them, sleep on now, take your rest. Oh, yeah. He says, the hour's at hand. The Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of sinners. I can understand that. Disciples, Jesus, we've been with you all day. You left us here, it's dark, and you're going over there to pray. Our eyes are getting heavy. Yeah. And Jesus said, verse 40, 45, take your rest. Yeah. Might be some times that we need to take a rest. If we've been involved in the work, yes, there might be a time for us. Can someone preach this sermon for me today? I just need to take a moment and breathe. Yeah. But when you do that, when you stop, you need to get back up again. It's okay to stop and rest, but we do that during the day, but then we go back to work. But some brethren spiritually, they stop and they never get back up and go back to work. They're not back involved in the ministry. They're like the sleep of weariness with the disciples. And interesting, I don't want to stop the verse there. The next verse, verse 46, Jesus said, rise. Get up. He says, let's go. But sometimes my brethren, they'll want to say, Brian, so can I just stop? Sure, stop and rest for a moment. And I'll say, get up, rise, let's go. And they say, oh no, this feels pretty good to me. I want to say, no, there's still work to be done. No, this feels pretty good. I like this. No, the disciples were, Jesus even said, remember the phrase, he found them asleep, their eyes were heavy. He said, sleep on, take your rest. And then he comes back and says, rise. Rise. Boy. Paul said in Galatians 6, verse 9, you can be weary in well-doing. Yeah. It might be a time to take a rest or take a break from your teaching a Bible class or whatever it is. But he says, but don't be weary in well-doing. You can be tired from doing good, but don't be tired of doing good. People just spiritually asleep. While men slept in that verse. Another one you're familiar with is Eutychus. See, the story's in Acts chapter 20. So on the first day of the week, Acts 20, beginning of verse 7. First day of the week. Disciples came together to break bread. Paul preached. Oh, that's a good thing. So they assembled together for worship and they had their communion. And Paul preaches. He was going to depart on the morrow, the verse says. He continued his speech until midnight. I'm not going to do that. Ooh. There were many lights in the upper chamber. They were gathered together, and there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus. He fell into a deep sleep, and as Paul was long in preaching, he sunk down with sleep, and he fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. Somebody's going to look at that verse and say, it's biblical to sleep during the preaching, but it's not healthy. He fell out the window. Paul went down, good news, went down and braced him and said, put his life back in him. The man went to sleep even when many lights on. I know, brethren. And I'm not talking about physical lights. But there have been bright lights in your life, prayers on your behalf, urging, encouragement, time after time after time after time. The lights are bright in that encouragement and the prayers for you, and yet you're going to go ahead and sleep. That was Eutychus. Yeah, Paul went long in preaching, but it says the very phrase there. There were many lights in the upper chamber. The problem wasn't with the lights. It was just the man says, I just want to go to sleep and take myself away from the preaching or the teaching. See, while men slept, the enemy came in and sowed tares. Wow. I heard someone said a definition of a preacher. It's not one that talks in his own sleep. He talks in somebody else's sleep. Definition of a preacher. Someone else asked me one time, so they might be eyes are weary during the preaching, but they came out and said, "Now, Brian, do you fall asleep when you're writing your sermons?" While men slept. Number three, put familiar with the story of Jonah. He's running away from a God-given task. And here's the verse. It said, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. It said, "Jonah, rise and go to Nineveh, the great city. Cry against it, for their wickedness has come before me." Oh, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish, paid the fare, went down into the ship to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, mighty tempest. The ship was likened to be broken. The mariners were afraid. They cried out to their gods. They cast forth the wares that were in the ship to lighten it. But Jonah, it says, was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Shipmaster came to him. "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if it so be that God will think upon us that we perish not." Well, one lesson from that story of Jonah is that you can't run from the presence of God. You can't run from God's word to preach the gospel. You can't run from God's word to study it, or to assemble for worship, or to involve yourselves in ministry. You see, we have an obligation to others, and that's another story in the, about Jonah. He was in the bottom of the ship, fast asleep, not aware there's people that were perishing, and they cried out, "Jonah, you need to wake up, because we're perishing, and we need to look around us in our neighborhoods, or in our families, or in our city right here. There's people that are perishing, and we want to make sure that we are awake and giving them God's word of salvation." You can't run from God's presence. But it's interesting, did you remember when I read the text? It said it twice. Jonah tried to flee from the presence of the Lord. I have an obligation to God, and just because I go across the freeway doesn't free me my obligation to God. Or if I move to another state, doesn't free me from my obligation to God. I can't flee or run from God's presence and God's obligation in my life. That's what Jonah was doing, fast asleep in the bottom of the ship. Last one, sleep of presumptuousness. Oh my. You're familiar with the story of Samson and Delilah? I'll read part of it for you, refresh your memory. Judges chapter 16, beginning of verse 4. "Came to pass afterward that he," meaning Samson, "he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came to her and said to Delilah, 'Entice him. See wherein his great strength lies. And see by what means we may prevail against him, so that we may bind him and afflict him.' And then they said, 'And we'll give you, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver.'" Ooh, pretty good offer to Delilah. Just find out where the strength of Samson is. And so in verse 6, Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me, Samson, I pray you, wherein is your strength lies, and wherewith thou might be bound to afflict you." Wow, that'd make me want to tell the source of my strength. "God, I'm going to tell you so that you can bind me up, tie me up, and give me lots of affliction." Oh, yeah. Samson gives three incorrect responses to her request. three times. First one in verse 7, he didn't tell her the truth. He said, bind me with 7 green withes or bowstrings that were never dried, then I'll be weak. So she tried that and it didn't work. And he says, Samson, come sleep here on my knees. And he does that, and then she says, oh, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And he got up and drove them out. She says, oh, Samson, don't mess with me. In so many words. Verse 11. He says, what's the secret of your strength? Oh, he says a second time, oh, bind me fast with new ropes that were never occupied. Then I'll be weak. And so sure enough, Samson, come sleep on my knee. Oh, Samson, you idiot. So he does. He goes sleep on her knees. And sure enough, she binds him up, ties him up with new ropes. And the Philistines come in. And she says, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And he gets up and drives them away again. Oh, Samson, you're toying with me again. So he says, come on, Samson, tell me. So he tells her a third time. This one in verse 13. If you weave the 7 locks of my head with a webbing. So she says, come here, Samson. Come closer. Sleep on my knees. And he does. So she does that, weaves 7 locks of his head. So when he's sleeping, then the Philistines come in. She said, wake up, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And so they come in, and he wakes up and drives them out again 3 times. Then in verse 16, what's the enemy going to do? Remember, it said, while men slept, the story that we began with in the introduction, while men slept, the enemy came in and sowed tares. Samson. Verse 16, so it came to pass after these 3 tries, she pressed him daily with her words and urged him. Guys, have you ever had a woman press you? Too many smiles, I'm sorry. The men are starting to smile and urge. You ever have a woman press you and urge you? Oh. Oh, you know what happened? So after she's telling Samson, you've been messing with me, you're toying with my affections. You're not telling me the truth, sweetie pie. In verse 17, he told her all his heart and said, if I be shaven, then my strength will go. Verse 19, she made him sleep upon her knees. That's the verse. She made him sleep upon her knees. She called for a man. She caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. Verse 20, she said, the Philistines be upon you, Samson. He awoke out of his sleep, and he said, I'll go out as at other times before and shake myself. Oh, Samson, you just lost your strength. You are presumptuous. You went to sleep. You thought because you got away with it those other 3 times that you could get away with it again. And he didn't get away with it. This time when he went to sleep, the next phrase is, he knew not that the Lord was departed from him. In verse 20. You see, the lesson is when you flirt with the world's temptation, you start enjoying the world's pleasures, you believe that you can walk away from it anytime. Anytime. And then the day comes that you can't walk away. The day comes when you don't want to walk away. And you're trapped. The enemy, because you've been sleeping, the enemy came and sowed tares among your wheat, among your good crop, among your good life. Yeah, I thought I could get away. You asked Samson, how did that happen? You lost your strength. Well, you know, that first time I got up and walked away. Second time I got up and walked away. Third time I got up and walked away. I thought I could always get up and walk away. And the answer is, no, you can't. You went to sleep. Being spiritually asleep, you don't even recognize that you separated yourself from God. You're spiritually asleep. Everything's okay. That's why I put in the closing part of your notes. Here's the danger of sleeping. When you're asleep, you're insensible. Tragedy could sweep through and you don't even know it. There have been times when I've slept through the night and wake up next morning, Christine will say, "Did you hear the sirens across the street?" I said, "No, I didn't hear them. I was sleeping." I was insensible to what was going on in the neighborhood. Didn't know it, I was asleep. That's the danger of being asleep physically, even and then spiritually. Second, you're insecure. You can't protect yourself. I'm asleep. That's why you lock the doors. You bar the windows. Why? Because I can't protect myself when I'm asleep. While men slept, the enemy came in and sowed tares. The danger of sleeping. Third one is you're inactive. When you're sleeping, you're not busy. And then when you wake up in the morning, you find that the task is no nearer finished than when you went to sleep. Ah. And the fourth one, you have an illusion. You're thinking that everything is okay. And it's not okay. Ah. We look at these sleepers in the Bible and learn a lesson from them. The slothful. Poverty comes. Sleep of weariness. Yeah, but Jesus said, "Wait a minute, rise. Let's go. Let's go. You've rested long enough." Jonah, they're sleeping and run away from God's task. You can't run away from God. Psalm 139, the psalmist asked the question, "Where can I go from your presence? If I ascend to the heights, you're there. If I ascend to the depths, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning, go to the othermost parts of the sea, you're there. If I say, even darkness shall cover me, even the darkness shall be light unto thee. Where can I go from your presence?" You can't. Number four was the sleep of presumptuousness. You think you can come back to God anytime you leave? Is that what you're thinking? I'll just run away for a while. I'll just take myself out of service for a while. I can come back anytime I want to, really. I see some vacant spots in place of people that left and they haven't come back yet. I also see some people that are here that left and didn't come back. Thank you. Praise God. Answered prayer. The lesson is, that question, are you sleeping? Are you sleeping? And that's an invitation for disaster. An invitation for disaster. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation, it's a song of exhortation. And you're subject to it. Never been baptized for remission of sins. You had that opportunity. Jesus' last words before he ascended back to the Father. Matthew records it. He says, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you." Mark records it in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. "Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." Luke records it in Luke chapter 24, Jesus' last words to his disciples is, "I want repentance and remission of sins preached in my name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." He says, "I want you to stay or tarry in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high." And the disciples did that. In Acts chapter 1 and 2, the disciples are in Jerusalem. They receive power from on high. Peter stands up and preaches a gospel good news message to them that there's hope for their salvation. He convinces them in Acts chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, that they crucified and slain the Son of God. In verse 36 of Acts chapter 2, he says, "This Jesus whom you crucified, God's made both Lord and Christ." He says, when they heard that, they're cut to the heart. We've murdered the Messiah. We've crucified the Christ. You know what? Then they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because to you is the promise, and to your children, to all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. And so with many other words, he testified, exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked, untoward generation. Those that gladly received his word were baptized. There were added unto them that day about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread and prayers. And in verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Who were those being saved? Back in verse 41, those who gladly received his word were baptized. That's the invitation we extend. It's a heavenly invitation. I didn't make it up. It's a God-given call. So let's stand together. We'll sing the song as a select person. You're subject to it, you not have been baptized or you had that opportunity. So this morning, if that's your desire, if that's your resolve, simply let me know while we're singing this song.